Okay, hello, and welcome to the Popcast Pod-Tart.
That's right.
You guys need to not laugh.
I'm not going to not laugh.
I don't think we're going to sweeten it.
The time we have, okay. if we had another whole hour and a half, maybe we could get
eat
down.
Those Pop-Tarts.
I think we eat those Pop-Tarts.
Welcome to the Podcast Pop-Cart, and we're going to eat these Pop-Tarts and give you our opinion. We're going to eat these Pop-Tarts and give you our opinions on them. These are Cherry Jolly Rancher Pop-Tarts. Let's dig in, boys.
Oh, man.
Better than the prequel trilogy.
They're still not very good.
That's good Pop-Tart.
The Jolly Rancher part is like, that's accurate. Like, it tastes kind of like a Jolly Rancher, but...
It tastes like a Pop-Tart.
But, yeah, the fact that it's a Pop-Tart and it's, like, about as dry as just, like, if I just poured, like, a fistful of flour in my mouth, it's as close to as dry as my mouth would be from, like, two bites of this Pop-Tart.
Dustin, you mixed some sugar into that flour.
That's true, right, you know, really get in there. Basically,
it's just a Jolly Rancher in flour.
You, like, basically just take the dry ingredients from any baked good and just, like, sift some of them into your face and call it a day.
So, last week we reviewed the cookies and cream Pop-Tarts. How does this compare?
Cookies and cream is like a classic. Like, this is nowhere near as good.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is you have, and I can't repeat myself enough, I tell you this every episode, you have to toast those Pop-Tarts, guys.
Microwave Todd's wisdom.
Yeah.
Once again.
Your parents had it right. You know they gave you them cooked, and then you were like, wait, I can just eat these faster if I don't cook them, and on the go. But it's not the way to be. We've said it many times.
The cold Pop-Tart eaters are like the scourge of the nation.
they're children, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. That's the line in the sand. Yeah. No cold Pop-Tarts.
Like people who eat white bread.
Adults eat cooked Pop-Tarts. Toasted Pop-Tarts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Or you can microwave them. Five seconds.
No.
Toaster or get out of the kitchen.
We'll leave that to the next episode then.
That's right. So
that's a topic for another
Whether microwave
podcast.
Until
and
next
my
time.
My co-host has walked out.
Yep. That's right. Yep. We're gonna transition now. We're gonna get out.
Probably the end of this podcast.
We gotta get out of the studio. Other guys are coming in.
Oh God, it's on fire.
Okay. Bye now.
This has been National Pop-Tart Radio.
Yep.
Hello! Those Pop-Tart people they got the fuck out of Dodge. I think they're out for the holidays. They're probably not going to be back for, you know, at
hopefully
least...
Hopefully ever.
Yeah. It always smells in here when they're gone.
A little fruity and a little sad.
But this is the Cubicorn Games podcast, where we talk about video games, usually, but maybe not today. Yeah. And we're just going to wing it. My name is Dustin Morbido. Joining me today, so many close friends. Lorraine Morbido is here.
It's true, as usual.
Kyle McGrath is here.
I smell Pop-Tart still.
Don't worry about it. This is the cross we bear at this point. Douglas Spry is here.
Hello.
Philip McGrath is here.
I'm visiting all the way from Japan, so no, I hope you guys can appreciate. Do I have the script wrong?
Pass
your copy to the left.
sorry about that.
Also joining us, friend of the show, Todd from Japan.
Ni hao.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. Just got in last night.
Oh, really?
Tired.
Yeah. Because
as far as I'm concerned, this is your show.
Okay.
We have you, you know, once every couple years.
Probably been.
Yeah.
So I just want to know what's on your mind, what's up with Japan, game-wise or otherwise. How you doing? How's life?
Well, it's been 2.5 years, and I've lived in my current city for 2.5 years since then, so... I don't know. you know, it's good. I enjoy my life there.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay, I'll ask you this question and feel free to not answer it if you don't feel comfortable. What's the fall of Western civilization look like from a distance? Like, how is it to society crumble?
Probably infinitely easier to experience significant time lag and I don't have to look at the news if I don't want to.
I mean, even just the blessing of like being outside the American news cycle time wise, just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, right.
There's nothing happening because it's 2 in the morning over there.
So like only the the foreign policy blunders could potentially affect me severely. And even then, there's a significant time lag. So.
Mm-hmm. Other countries will eat that worse than Japan does.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, definitely.
Except for in the case of North Korea.
Yeah, well, that's. I was thinking maybe we should just leave that all alone for this one. Yeah,
too late.
That's the biggest potential.
Right. And that's probably the only thing that's affected you at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was a...
Yeah, they were shooting missiles over Japan.
There was a missile launch, warning one day, but that went to the totally opposite side of Japan.
Sure. Right.
And there was a missile launch test... Oh, sorry. And there was a missile launch test where so everyone's phones went off.
Right,
oh,
yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Except for mine, because I bought it in America. So I was just oh my gosh, if I was out with my daughter, with only my phone, I wouldn't, and no one was around us, I wouldn't know there was a real event going
right.
on.
Right, and
so.
I would think that Japanese people are probably pretty chill in general, so that I don't think you're going to get the mass,
it'd be a nice orderly walk to the
train station,
there's nobody around all of a sudden, because I wouldn't have heard anyone, yeah.
You looked up from your phone, and just this public park is empty,
we woke up, and everyone was gone.
So maybe I need to get that fixed.
I would like you not to, so you can tell us the story of when you not happen. Having any idea what's happening.
Yeah.
But also, I guess, maybe fix it.
Yeah, because that's probably, I don't think we'll go fully into that, but there is an element of, on the local government level, it almost certainly will affect you, because Japan's kind of on the precipice of will they, won't they, in terms of, remilitarization. Are they going to continue to step up and, So that's probably outside of the scope of what we're prepared to talk about as idiots on the internet.
Yeah, I'm not prepared to talk about that, but it's
something.
Not good. Yeah.
Todd would like to wait until the next podcast to announce that he's joining the Japanese military.
Yes. It's
third
a good job there.
In the Japanese military.
Uh-huh.
It's a high quality job.
Good for
sure
them.
They need interpreters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really something.
Do they have a 24-hour news channel equivalent over there?
So what's the cable news scene in Japan? Right. Oh, that's so good. Man,
no, they don't have 24-hour news. They have they have news several times a day.
Sure.
Yeah, which is all you really need. So.
Yes, that is all you really need. You're correct.
So, all the Japanese talking heads are just paid to rotate on cool game shows.
Yeah.
Just variety TV. It's just all right.
That's the 24-hour cycle I want. Variety shows.
Japanese TV is has no rewatchability, it's all about what's going on now, basically, and everything's kind of about everything, and all movie stars or talented people are on all different shows, so everything's just kind of a blur.
Cool. The Japanese blur.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
It's nice to just have it on and, look at it occasionally, whereas, by contrast, all American TV is so stimulating that it's hard to have on in the background.
Sure.
Absorbed into it almost directly.
Right. The only thing you can do is a background activity is making a podcast.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
Easy listening.
There you go. No, that's really cool. That is awesome. I have transitioned from I might go to Japan someday. I definitely will go to Japan someday. I'm not sure when yet, but...
just to visit, maybe?
Or? Yeah, yeah. I don't think... I'd love
escape
to...
Escape plan.
Yeah, well, got the bubble bat.
Teaching English there is really fun, but you may have missed the time when it was most fun to do, which is... Yeah.
Right on. Well, yeah, whatever. Right, just like Bitcoin.
Yeah.
By the time you hear how cool it is, it's already too late.
Japan.
The time to buy is now. Get in while the kitten ends low.
For Japan, it's just like Bitcoin.
Oh, that's not true at all. That's
national motto.
Far too popular for its own
good. We will not demean the Japanese people in that way. They're much better than Bitcoin.
The yen is down. The Olympics are coming. It's a great time to go travel there. So
Yeah, because my thought was there's a lot of stuff... in general that I want to do there, and my guess is that if we targeted 2020 sort of in the aftermath of the Olympics, that might be a good time, because while everything has been prepped up for tourism, you get that vacuum of a bunch of people just left because the big thing that was happening is over now.
Well, Doug's come and liked it, and he's gonna come again, he said. So
there'd just be it's just a matter of logistics and scraping together the money, really. Yep. But it's it is a place that it has had such a profound influence on American pop culture and me in particular that it seems ridiculous not to go there someday. Yeah.
If your goal is to go in 2020, I'm sure you can scrape up
whatever resources, time, like, I don't think I could drop a hat and do it in 4 months or something, but
that's what I'm doing.
Bye.
That works too, man.
Later, Phil.
Japan will always be there, probably, so.
God willing.
That optimism. Probably longer than us.
Yeah.
But my other thought is that if I really plan it out, I can do, like,
more stuff.
Yeah, and just be there longer. Like, I feel like doing a week would sell it a little short, but definitely. If I can be there from between, like, 2 weeks and a month and just, like, really go all out.
Yep, that's definitely...
That would be my ideal.
Travel time, man.
Well, right, exactly.
Yeah. If you want to go to more than just Tokyo, which I think
which
you
I
100% should,
would want to do. Like, I want to see a little bit of
foxes,
all of that.
Damn it. I need to go there.
If we count jet lag, Todd's not really even here yet.
Mm-hmm.
He's still on the way.
I'll do my damnedest to get my... my level of Japanese from 0 to, like,
1%.
At minimum, like, where's the bathroom and, like...
Yeah. Read katakana.
Right. Yeah. I'm a stupid American. Take pity on me.
Yeah.
But my international traveling is waiting for the apps that you put in your ear and it just translates for you.
Those exist already.
Yeah, but I want them to be more common.
Yeah.
They're going to be good.
Yeah.
The visual Google Translate stuff is pretty fucking incredible these days, where your phone is just a window. Like, you can point your phone at most texts and it'll give you, like, a 60%. Accurate English translation of what
that
means.
Crazy. Which is enough to understand.
Yeah, enough to, like, figure out if this is a bomb shelter or, you know, like, a ramen
KFC.
Shop.
As clearly spoken as a toddler.
Yeah. 90% of all survival language skill, I think, is covered by automatic translation
at
this
point.
Yeah, just
like the computers that we live with every day.
Yeah. Maybe, like, 30% of business needs, but I'm also a translator, so I...
Yeah.
Have to hate it.
Yeah, right.
Sure, that's your job. That's all on.
You just point at the thing you want and just put money onto the table until they don't ask for any more. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Put Pop-Tarts on the table until... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm from America. This is currency.
You just have, like, gold, silver, and bronze spray-painted Pop-Tarts. You just pull them out and just, like... Set them
we
down.
Call these Trump tarts. Only the gold ones.
Oh my God.
Man.
You've got the Pence.
You did it.
Oh shit. Actually.
Yeah, that's
wow.
Just came to you off the dome.
Six pence to a golden Trump.
Oh my gosh. That's bravo.
A window into the future.
Props to you,
but then Pence is you just kind of break them down to get from like
nobody wants Pence.
There's no subunit of a Pence. You
right?
just have to destroy
half
it
pence.
And rip it
it's
apart.
Like seeing, it's like seeing a penny on the ground. You're like, I probably don't need to pick that up.
The germs on it aren't really step on it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Kind of hope it goes away.
Oh boy. No, that's really something. But yeah, I can't wait to do that someday. And I'd love to live... Like, theoretically, I'd love to live internationally, like, overseas somewhere for, like, an extended period of time. I don't know if I'll ever be able to pull that off, but...
I'll go with you, Dustin.
It would be a thing that sounds awesome.
Bye.
Like,
I'll replace the ring.
We're going to stay home. Gotta fill the void. Bring Phil along.
Fill the void.
Because it was an accident.
You guys don't... I don't know, you don't necessarily strike me as English teachers, but you're certainly not too old to do English teaching.
Sure.
Like, it's super easy to get a job doing, so.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been over there, like, all told? Like, how long have you been primarily living in Japan?
5 years in teaching, and then 2.5 as a translator. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
5 years in the middle of nowhere, 2 years in a pretty nice city. So I'm pretty good, pretty used to living in a city at this point, and couldn't go back to nowhere, so.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that anywhere. Like, I don't know if I could do, like,
I couldn't do that
particularly
here.
Rural life. Because, we had in-nation culture shock over Thanksgiving when we were hanging out with some of Lorraine's family.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And one of her cousins, who he's about to get married, and him and his fiancée were there, and they live in, like, rural Indiana. And we were just talking about... like TV shows and stuff. And we were talking about going to the wedding. They said, like, oh yeah, we'll go down, you know, we'll come down next year and have our own Stranger Things moment. And they were like, oh, we haven't seen Stranger Things. We don't really have Netflix. Like, the internet's not that good. And I was just, like, blown away. Like,
what's your opinion on
you
net neutrality?
Well, I mean, the Demigorgon just lives right over there. So.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, you mean Mike Pence was there?
Ah, it's all coming together. But yeah, despite everything, okay, right, I've always lived, you know.
Well, go to rural Japan rather than rural America.
Well, yeah, certainly, yeah, 100%.
Kosa was interesting to visit. Yeah, I couldn't.
Yeah, my town is like is rural, but it's close enough to a city that it's not like impossible to get to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the goal, the cool thing about traveling is that like you definitely want to see all those places because you kind of want to get at least a little bit of a feel for how people live everywhere. Yeah. I just don't think I could do that for a stint of like, you know, years at a time or whatever. I just don't think I'm built for that at this point.
Yeah.
True.
But man, yeah, how cool. That's really neat. Like, props to you, man. Like I said, anybody who's just like getting out there, doing the thing they want to do, and freaking...
What do you miss most about the States, and what do you like most about Japan?
Rapid fire round, go!
Go!
On the clock.
I miss Pop-Tarts.
I like... Hey, you're a mole for that other pod!
That's right!
You see it? Oh, no! Well, you do look a lot like
John Q. Kellogg. Oh, no!
Michigan.
Oh, here the whole time.
Gosh, I don't know. I like having good public transport.
Yeah,
like, I barely need a car there.
Right.
And that's my least favorite thing about living here now is that it's garbage.
Right. Yeah, you guys especially.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Detroit is worse than most.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah,
the auto industry has dictated some number of things.
Turns out.
Right. And so I like that.
Yeah.
And I like that when I'm sick, I know nothing bad is going to happen to me.
Wow.
And yeah, I miss lots of pizza real cheap.
Nice.
Just right here on the ground.
The leftovers of some cheap pizza.
Yeah, in my experience, if I hang out at the house of someone my age for more than 5 hours, there will be a pizza delivered at some point.
Yeah. Can I ask a follow-up question about food?
Yes.
In your experience in Japan, what ethnic food stuff is the least like you might expect it? Like how's their Mexican food or how's their pizza?
Chinese like?
Which thing is like, oh, I got tacos Chinese and like, man, these are not tacos in the way that I understand them.
The Chinese is a lot different, but really, really good, I'd say. It's still different than real Chinese food.
Right.
Sure. A third type of Chinese
food. The food that Chinese people actually eat is not is totally different from what is recognized as Chinese food internationally.
Look, as long as it's got rice in it.
And let's start.
Whoa. Damn.
Pizza, it is winter.
Pizza, I'd say they do really bad. You can get American pizza, but nobody orders like just what they want. They get one of the menu options. A lot of them have corn and mayonnaise.
Oh, man. Wow. I would totally try that just to do it.
I would not.
That is something.
Yeah, no. Not happening.
Dustin, I'm canceling our romantic trip.
That is a Google translated pizza.
Let's say, Sophie's choice, either corn or mayonnaise, which one would you
corn?
Corn.
Corn.
No hesitation.
For me, it's mayonnaise, because really? Japanese mayonnaise is much better than American mayonnaise.
All right, you have to explain that, then.
Right. It's less sour, I guess, and more creamy. It goes out better with a lot of things.
Almost like a cheese sauce more than
mayonnaise. All right. Used to consistency.
It's the closest thing they have to ranch, which they don't tend to have because they don't have buttermilk. But it's just like a dip thing. Like, get fried chicken, dip a little mayonnaise in there, put it on your pizza.
Incredible. Put it in your Bosco stick.
Whereas, corn is always just like cheese is rather expensive there, so to get a single pizza it costs as much as three pizzas here. It's like $30 for pizza. If you go pick it up it's cheaper, but it's like
I mean, that makes sense though, because it's not like they have the landmass for dairy farming.
That's probably true across the board. You can't just go to the store and buy 46 slices of cheese.
Right.
I love America.
If you get like
a tough one to lose.
You can get a good Italian-style pizza that's like margarita, so there's like a few dots of mozzarella cheese.
That's
just like a thin. It's still good, but it's still good. Not the pizza I'm used to.
Sure.
I ate that type of pizza every day I was in Italy, and
it's not the cold, industrial American understanding of what pizza is.
Globs of grease, cheese, and sauce.
I think
it's not greasy, and there's not as much cheese.
But I think I like their best ethnic food is probably Indian food there, because it's just really nice curry with lots of you know, it can be very mild, and then they got a nice big naan, and it's always cheap and good. But
awesome.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah. Sounds great literally right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's really cool.
But every we did time this I while go, we're still hungry.
Yeah.
No. Every time I come back to America, I miss American food less and less because...
Mm. Right on.
Because it's monstrous. I mean,
that's not something that you can easily just jump back into.
Yeah, salt.
You have to, you have, salt, to have your body butchered into accepting that type of diet.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like, one of my favorite things about going places too is food. Mm-hmm. Just getting, just trying, like going around a corner and trying whatever that is. Yeah. Like, let's roll the dice and see what we get.
Well, if you come out to my neck of the woods, we have great ramen, great Chinese food, great anything.
So. I will definitely, but not I will, pizza. We'll head back and forth online.
Yeah, don't get like pizza. I said,
it's going to be a bit.
That's fine, right? Yeah. You don't go to Japan to visit America Town. Yeah.
There are several America towns.
Yeah, right. America Town in Osaka is actually cool.
I would actually go there once just to like.
Well, and then there, the thing is, I kind of want to do both. Like, I want to get like real good food, and then I also want to eat at Japanese McDonald's because like that's just fucking crazy.
See what Japanese McDonald's will have like a couple different sandwiches. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, go there, but don't just get a Big Mac. And get whatever the thing is that
or
they
you
have.
Get a Big Mac to compare
right.
it to
you
want to
know how it's
you
different.
Need to get Japanese Outback Steakhouse, which is apparently like incredibly surreal. It's almost exactly the same
as
here.
It's like a fucking
culture shock.
Stepping through the portal into
I went to Hard Rock Cafe the other day, and it was exactly the same, just $10 more expensive for everything, basically.
Man, that's really
sad. Was there still a bunch of America crap on the walls?
Yes, yeah, like, where do they get all that stuff? It must be some huge industry,
right?
Shifted boxes.
Well, I think, the corporate system is keeping a lot of those Japan locations alive. The one in my town was a ghost town. The one I went to in Osaka was... almost completely empty. So,
I feel like that might even be true here. It's like, when was the last time you heard about anyone talking about Hard Rock Cafe?
It's surely a failing.
I stayed at the Hard Rock Cafe when we went, or the Hard Rock Hotel when we went to Chicago.
The one in Barcelona was always super busy.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
So bizarre.
Yeah, it's just like, I think it's a transition in like. How often people are sitting down to eat meals and like what their expectations are when they do that.
Yeah.
And also, it's just like. Like, that's not a brand that's, like, you know, up and coming, let's say, in 2017, probably.
No.
Well worn.
It's closer to, like, the Applebee's and Fridays than anything people want now.
Yeah. Yeah, turns out people don't want to eat Applebee's because it's bad.
Right, it's garbage food.
No, millennials are killing it.
It's okay.
We are.
It's the well, yeah, exactly. It's the perfect combination of, like, not only is it bad, but it also takes forever.
And it's expensive.
Like, if I go to my Burger King or McDonald's, it might be crap, but I can get it in, like, 5 minutes and then I'm done. Like, I don't have to sit there for, like, an hour and then tip someone on top of it. And...
Right.
I like to think most of us are at least aware enough to go find good food if we want it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing...
hot garbage than we do.
Right. We can distinguish the difference between a good place to go and garbage, but fast.
I think the other thing that I have heard other people who I've known who have visited Japan say food-wise is that whenever they order like American-style breakfast, it's always a little different than they were expecting. Like the sausages are not the sausages that you expect, and the eggs are just prepared like not quite the same way as you might.
Sausages are tiny. No pun intended.
That's right, yeah.
But they tend to give you, like, toast. Like, they just eat bread as, like, its own thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can get, like, an unseasoned piece of toast.
No butter.
Basically, yeah. And, I mean, yeah. Or, and it's, like, really thick, like, white, really white bread.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, American... breakfast is whatever. Like, they don't tend to eat just sweet things or whatever for breakfast.
They don't need
French toast drowning in gravy.
Yes,
these Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts.
Oh my gosh, guys. There are so
they left us some Pop-Tarts,
there are eight Pop-Tarts still left.
That abandoned box of Pop-Tarts so full.
We only eat them when we record a podcast.
Basically.
Oh, man.
They've been here for, like, 2 months.
They've been here quite a while.
No, I'd say breakfast in Japan just... eat a rice ball at a convenience store. It's going to taste great, and then get on the road. Like,
that
you don't
sounds awesome. That
waste
sounds
time
great.
Having breakfast. You know.
I'm all about that. That sounds incredible.
But I think, as a rule of thumb, if you go to a random restaurant in Japan, it's going to be amazing because Japanese people are picky, and running a restaurant there is very expensive, and so if your food is bad, you will instantly go out of business.
Sure. Yeah, that's the other, right. Like, basically what you just described is, like, Mm-hmm. People just like eating it like a convenience store and it being fine, not like a taquito from 7-Eleven that's been there for 17 your life hours. Your own hands. Yeah.
No, all the food there is extremely fresh and not rolling.
Sure, right, exactly.
That is the thing in my mind.
Served in log form, spinning perpetually on
right.
a strange rotating platform.
Yeah.
If you had two of those rollers, you could probably do that with a rice ball. Just get it wedged the right way and it would just start rolling.
Rice ball, you don't need to keep heating.
No, I know, but you could.
You need to keep it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they have the technology for that. So.
That's right.
Yeah.
The rice cookers are years ahead of ours.
Well, if you buy a rice ball, it has like a special wrap that you take off in a certain way and pull off the wrapper from the side so that only at that point is the seaweed touching the rice ball. So the seaweed stays completely fresh.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's great.
Oh, there we go. I found it. I found the question rattling around in my head. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you if you do either currently or in the not too recent past, if you do any retro game shopping while you're there. Obviously, the first thing, if you're living there permanently, is that living space is at a premium.
Right.
But you don't want to just pile shit up.
Yeah, I don't want to accumulate stuff. And yet I do play Magic there. So that's a contradiction that I'll have to solve at some point.
Yeah, we all,
But, my wife found there's a huge market opening up on this one like app marketplace where you can just go meet people and buy things off them. It's like Craigslist, but it's anonymous, so you don't have to.
That's right.
Give
Bitcoin
out
fuel.
You don't have to give out your address until you're at all. You can just tell them where to meet you at the end of it.
So it's for selling drugs.
If only.
If it were America.
It's like Craigslist, but extremely good because people don't mooch out of deals or do weird things, and they have to list what their item is, particularly all these rules. So we went and bought a PlayStation 2 with a used PlayStation 2 with two Taikomaster and two controllers.
Cool. Yeah. That's so good.
Because I thought I could play that with my daughter, but it was a little hard for her, and the controllers are kind of bad.
Right.
It's the unfortunate end of that story. But, there's a huge, or there's a lot of stuff available there, and I just go to a used bookstore or whatever, and those have stacks of old games. GameCubes everywhere.
Right.
Piles and piles
of
GameCubes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I've heard mixed things very recently, because I know in the past, in the late 90s and early 2000s, it was kind of the place to, you could just go up and stack grips of cartridges of pretty much anything you wanted for, relatively reasonable prices and come home with a suitcase full of stuff.
Oh, yeah, there are used games everywhere. The ones in Tokyo are expensive because the foreigners will go to them
and
not pay any price, but...
That's kind of what I'm getting at is that, I think the old game market in Japan has sort of been ruined by outside influence. That it seems like the foreigners have already come and taken, a lot of the stock and removed it from the country. Which is, I guess it's fine. It's
market
so
forces.
Weird and complicated that, I don't know...
I mean, like you said, if space is at such a premium and people aren't necessarily
interested.
Hoarding and building interested in building collections.
But I mean,
so the whole store model is based around the idea that someone will buy something and then sell it back.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So once the last copy of Chrono Trigger leaves Japanese shores,
Chrono Trigger is one of the easiest to find games there. It hits such
a
high
a lot
stock compared to in America. Yeah. But, you find a lot of games that are like that, but even for me, it's like, do I want to sit down and play an old JRPG in Japanese? And the answer is no.
Especially because you can download all that digitally and not have it take up that physical space.
Yeah. I think in any area, there's a huge used game market. There's used game stores everywhere. Like Netflix and stuff is only starting to take off there. So
tell us about Japanese Netflix.
What? It's no, I don't pay for that. I don't know.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Do you know if there's is there a Netflix adjacent? Is there a Japanese exclusive streaming service that is you pay it some amount of money a month and?
No, I think just all those Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon Prime are already.
Have Japanese.
They're already in Japan, and they have their own Japan exclusive stuff.
Right.
But it's not very much compared to, and Hulu I think was the first, but
even when we were like 2 years ago or whatever, when we went to Canada to go to that one DBZ tournament. Uh-huh. I tried to get on Netflix from the hotel, and it was like, "You're in the wrong country for this account, idiot."
Yeah,
and then that was the end of that conversation.
Right.
I was like, "All right, fine."
Yeah,
but it wouldn't even let me glimpse what was up on Canadian Netflix. Like, I couldn't even see how many seasons of Degrassi they were packing in there.
They have three secret ones. All rated TVMA.
No, yeah, I moved there before I even got used to stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
sure. Yeah.
In my mind, you guys are just all wasting money on stuff you can,
you know,
obtain otherwise.
Well,
inactivity's not fully endorsed on this podcast.
We got older and had more than 1-0 in our bank account and felt like being honest about how we consume media.
2-0.
Yeah. Right. Well, and again, the other thing is just like, they hit the sweet spot, like, like Amazon kind of hit it, and then like Spotify beat them to that, where like, if you make MP3s cheap enough, people will buy them.
Right.
Like, if you sell this album for $1 for a week, like, people will buy it just because it's so much easier than like going to the trouble to track it down and steal it from wherever.
Yeah.
And that's like, those services are just that. Like, it's just always there. It takes
Netflix
zero effort.
$8 a month or whatever.
Yeah, it takes zero effort to get whatever the newest thing is on there. You just push the button and there it is.
I feel like sometimes I pay for Netflix just to spite the cable companies.
Kind of.
I mean, there's a little bit of that. Because fuck the cable companies.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah. We just got Spotify, but it doesn't have a lot of Japanese artists, so
oh, sure.
The mainstream user would not even use it. It's for like people who are really into music there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like the kind of people who might be like hitting up record stores anyway.
Yeah. Or who like would know a bunch of like more minor artists, whereas
They know that they want these two bands that all right, they're here, so
someone who knows what they're looking for, basically.
Right.
Yeah, that stuff's really fascinating. What's the TV situation like? Is there cable in the like the Comcast sense, like where you pay for a bunch of channels, or is
there's
it mostly over the air?
No, there's a paid cable system where you kind of pay for individual channels.
Okay. And, so the way that people,
the way that it
should
be,
right? Exactly.
Yeah. It's uncommon for everyone to just have tons of channels. Yeah.
Mm. But
is there like a market, a competition there? Could you have like 6 or 7 cable companies you can choose from, or are you kind of locked into one, maybe two?
No, there's several. All those things are kind of monopolies, but yeah, cell phones and cable and internet providers there are kind of, yeah. So I wouldn't say it's not so much of a choice there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not unlike here.
And everyone offers the same, I think, selection of channels. It's just who are you going to pay for it.
Sure.
Right.
So.
And some of them almost certainly cover, you know, some areas of the country and some don't.
Right. Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
And then the other layer there would be, like, what the regulatory situation is in Japan, which obviously I have no idea about.
Right, yeah.
I would assume that it's probably better than America, but that is a total guess that I pulled directly out of my butt.
Odds are pretty good, I would say, though.
Pretty bad here.
Yeah.
All I know is Japanese TV, they can use, like, almost any song and pay no royalties. Huh. So you're, like, watching it. Show and they'll be suddenly playing the Beatles or the Rolling Stones in the background, like
their copyright is a lot different. Like,
I'm surprised that they have that, though.
Especially for non-Japanese media.
Yeah,
right.
That's why there's some things like certain parts of games have to get changed when they're coming here because they use something that they don't have the rights to outside of Japan.
Mm-hmm. One show I watched played in rapid succession. 2 Chrono Cross songs as background music.
Cool.
In consecutive scenes.
Completely no context whatsoever.
And I told my wife about it, and she was like, "No one thinks that such comments are interesting."
I strongly disagree.
She's wrong.
Well, besides this
people,
table.
Yeah. Exactly.
Jacob would have lost his mind.
More of an indictment on the people I've grown up with. Myself.
100%. Yeah, that's amazing.
This is part of my brain now.
Yep. Yeah, I love when moments like that happen. That's like the first, the first time I was in like a gas station or wherever it was, and ran into one of those the registers that make the Sonic the Hedgehog ring noise when a transaction goes through. I thought I was losing my mind. Like, I thought I was actually going insane, and then I looked it up after the fact.
That really was the thing.
And it really did exist, but.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so good. trying to think of anything else. Like, I feel bad for putting you on the spot, just like picking your brain.
Come on, entertain us.
Well, I understand you guys have had. You've done at least one podcast very recently in which you discussed Star Wars. So
that was a good one.
That is true. Do you know when did it come out in Japan? Do you know?
Same time.
Same exact day.
I ended up seeing it because my friend has his own R2-D2.
Right on.
So that's cool. So he got me free tickets.
Oh, that's awesome.
Otherwise, I had no intention
of
going. I was like, I'll see it later.
Is it much of a phenomenon over there?
No, because most Japanese people do not know the original trilogy.
Hmm.
Like, my wife saw the prequels, or like one of the prequels when she was in
college. Oh, these are kind of bad.
Or something.
Wow, this is awful.
Well, I mean, in her mind, is just another movie.
And sure.
Not even something to put on a pedestal. But, yeah.
Some of that, like,
so we were walking through this...
baggage on it?
Yeah. We were walking through the mall with this R2-D2 on the way to the theater.
Nice.
It was a packed mall Sunday night. Tons and tons of people there all reacting. But the most common line I heard was someone going, Star Wars, Star Wars. Like, they don't know the name of R2-D2.
They have the biggest audience.
They just know that that thing is from
that
brand.
The brand is there. Yeah. The advertisement, the advertisements or whatever are everywhere. Mm-hmm. But, if those movies aren't coming out, I don't know.
Sure.
At all. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Especially, I can't imagine.
Right. Mm-hmm. We've had to spend the last year getting bombarded with Star Wars media. Just, go see this movie, you idiot. You're going to see this movie. Give us your money.
Right.
The last 3 years.
Yeah. Right.
And even for the foreseeable future.
For forever.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Until forever.
And even for the stuff that this one changed up, it is, at the same time, still so referential to those existing movies.
Yeah.
That, like, the context of just seeing it as a movie, like, without the baggage of 40 years of Star Wars, like, it's really interesting. And, like, even, like, seeing the prequels, like, imagine those roll out in a country where the original trilogy wasn't necessarily a huge deal. It's like, I can...
Yeah.
At some point, I can see those blending in perfectly with, like, the live-action remakes and stuff of, like that goes, like, right side-by-side with, like, the live-action Attack on Titan movie in my mind. Like, those are basically indistinguishable.
Yeah.
You saw, like, posters for each of them in a Japanese movie theater, and you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Sure. It's some fantasy thing.
Well,
okay.
Japan has always been doing the live-action remakes. Right. Like, that's their business, basically. Or
I mean,
sequels.
Same here.
Full Metal Alchemist.
In a way, Americans' system has just become.
I don't
know. The live action one is out.
It
in
is
Japan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was coming soon.
It's very soon. Yeah.
How bad is Edward's hair? Is it like the worst wig you've ever seen?
I don't. I maybe saw like one or two trailers. I actually don't know too much about it.
It's just
I
funny that
kind of didn't care.
That's what they like. Live action movies would be so much better if they didn't try to match hair color.
Right.
Like,
sure.
Just like,
it doesn't translate at all.
Always a guy with white hair, like gold hair, yeah.
He's got a robot arm, it's good enough.
Purple hair, yeah. I don't know.
My OC, no.
And like watching that, like snake eat its own tail of like watching Final Fantasy games have more realistic representations of human beings in them that still have like preposterous anime hair is like, that's really something.
Looking at you, Lightning.
In Final Fantasy 15, most of those characters had normal-ish hair.
That's true.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, for the most part.
It's a little on the spiky side.
Yeah, not Tactus is
not something
little,
you couldn't achieve with you know, a little bit of conditioner.
Some gel.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm a super non-gamer for the level of this podcast, but...
Get out.
No, no, that's fine.
Go back to those
podcasts. You've got, you know, a job and a life and a family.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fair.
Not welcome here.
Thanks
for coming. Definitely no shame.
Yeah.
For as much as I like discussing video games, honestly, I'm closer to that than
it's getting
I play
there,
less
the
of them than I talk about.
Right. You probably spend more time making them.
Yeah. Among other things.
Yeah. So.
Only so many hours in the day.
True.
But I'm still fascinated by them. Like I said, it's just like a touching point of a really interesting artistic medium.
Yeah.
Like, and just something that I was, for the most part, like, we were all basically introduced to video games around the time that they were coming into existence. Like, there's the, you know, the computer space and Atari stuff, which is technically before our time, but not that much far.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
maybe
most of us before we were born.
The original Nintendo was the first time they became, like, super widespread.
Yeah, and the Super Nintendo was honestly probably...
Got on the rocket and went to space.
...the time when they were coming into the most. Like, that was, in my mind, that's the first era of, like, polished game design.
Yeah.
Like, there had been 2D games for so long that by the Super Nintendo era, people had kind of figured it out.
Right.
And then, obviously, the table got flipped.
Right, right. No, we went... took it to another dimension,
yeah,
and
the
we've
table
been
got
evolving it
on like polygonal stuff on PC and the PlayStation and whatever. But
yeah, the other day I was at a mall in Kyoto and there was just a four or five piece chiptunes band playing.
Nice.
It was just called the NES band, and it was three people on keyboards and one guy in like one of those like distorter sounds, and it was all connected to one NES that they're making the music from.
So they're using the actual hardware. That's great.
Yeah, they're using the hardware.
But was it NES or was it a Famicom?
It was a Famicom. They're called the NES band. They only play NES songs.
That's where they took that name, though.
And they play. But unlike just like a chiptunes artist who would just like DJ a set, they were just playing all of the sounds on all their keyboards. So it was really
awesome.
Virtuosic compared to like normal. But yeah, it was funny.
That's amazing.
Just ran into that.
No, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I want to attribute this as correctly as I can because I don't remember the exact name. But I don't think I've talked about it on here before. There was a like 5 or 6 part... documentary about Japanese video game music and game creators.
Oh,
I think
it
was called like
awesome.
Digging in the Carts or something.
Okay.
And it was by like the Red Bull Music Alliance or some whatever. Yeah. It's, but it was fucking amazing because it was like it covered like basically like some
Google
of the people
in Japanese chiptunes documentary.
Yeah, and you'll see like there are cool interviews with like Hip Tanaka and
Mega Man
and
stuff. Like that stuff was awesome.
Yeah, like early Capcom people and early Namco people.
Yeah,
just like, God, I seem so bad for forgetting her name, but the woman who did, like, later the Kingdom Hearts soundtrack, and then did Street Fighter 2, and just having her, like, describe, like, creating the soundtrack to Street Fighter was basically one of the coolest things I've ever seen on video.
Yeah, we watched that a while.
But yeah, there were some amazing interviews on there. Some of the guys from Sega, like the dude who did the Streets of Rage soundtrack, just being into like electronic music at the time and literally just making like sick house tracks to put into this video game.
Yuzo Koshiro, who also runs the studio that produced Protect Me Night.
I'm pretty sure.
Wasn't expecting that.
I'll actually confirm it before we sign off here. I'll get on my phone and Google once I hand the conversation off because I don't know for sure. But like Todd said, if nothing else, Google like Japanese video game music documentary, and I'm sure you'll be able to find it. But it's really fucking awesome.
I'm sure it's such a big subculture there. It's just not one you normally run into unless you seek it out. But
yeah, and the point they made, like the little intro to each of those episodes, which is definitely true for me at least. Is that video games internationally are maybe the largest portal for Japanese music escaping Japan.
Yeah, probably.
I believe that.
And that's just kind of incredible. Like, it's just not a thing that you would think about, like, without it being suggested to you, maybe.
Yeah.
Right? Like, after it's mentioned, it's like, oh, that's wild. Because that's, like, the kind of, like, my mom's, like, any of the Japanese music she would ever know would be like, oh, I know the Mario theme. Like, I know what Zelda sounds like.
Yeah.
And just like, how wild is that, right?
On the other hand, I keep hearing about how there are used game stores everywhere here in the Southeast.
Southeast. It's some really good ones, too.
And I heard there's like an arcade bar that opened up in Detroit recently or near Detroit. I'd like to go there.
There's one or two open, or like, because the one called Ready Player One is open, and then there's an actual barcade.
The only problem is, what if that's a crossover with that unfortunate movie that's about to come out?
It is a name
Don't
only.
Worry.
They just stole that title.
Yeah. But,
not a fan of that one?
I started reading the book, and I was like, this is garbage.
Okay.
So I hear.
I've had it recommended to me, but I've
never
read it.
Super garbage.
Yeah, one of our friends is enamored by the book, and Dustin had like followed like a Twitter thread of like excerpts from it, and it's like it reads like bad fan fiction. Like the writing style is awful.
It's extremely trite in how it's written.
Trite is a very good word.
And like, how old's your friend? If they're our age, we don't remember the stuff that's being idolized in that, and that's what ultimately turned it off. It's like, I don't hate the story so much, but like. They're talking about the 80s games, which doesn't resonate with me at all. It's basically just a huge love letter to that.
But you can see Tracer's butt.
I can go on the internet.
More lovingly rendered than ever, thanks to the power of Steven Spielberg and the Hollywood machine.
Yeah. I'd say just watch Wreck-It Ralph or something again instead.
That is a solid movie.
Yeah, that's a solid movie.
Look forward to the second one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to check it out.
That documentary series is called Diggin' in the Carts by the Red Bull Music Academy. So
it is that Red Bull, right?
Yes, it is. Right.
To be sure.
It's just like a sponsorship thing. Yeah, I think they just like yes.
Funded it or something.
It is sure. Red Bull. The
no one's doing sick jumps or like caffeinated airplanes beverage or anything like that.
Oh, that's a good stupid follow up question.
Okay.
Japanese Red Bull. Do you know if it's like international Red Bull or is it like Thai Red Bull where it's like a syrup that
whoa.
How's Thai Red Bull? I do not drink Red Bull.
Okay, fair enough. Feel free to disregard.
You. I know Americans who drink it and like to stay alive, and they say it's good here. So
yeah, because the original
Thai Red Bull is disgusting or something. They probably wouldn't drink it.
The original Red Bull is basically like a kind of viscous. Like it's not really a soft drink. It's much like thicker and like weirder than that.
Really, but is the Red Bull available now then different?
The one that they sell internationally and probably in Thailand also at this point is like it's just like a monster. It's just like
it's a carbonated soda. Drink.
Yeah,
it's different than it's not a sludge.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I've been exposed to Thai Red Bull one or two times in my life. It's just a really strange thing to like watch someone pour out of like a glass. Like that's a
pours like syrup.
Yeah, it looks like cough syrup. Like that's how pour it's just a little thicker than like a thing you'd want to just be kind of sipping on.
Pancakes.
That is how we eat breakfast in America.
Red Bull.
Red Bull pancakes. Todd, somebody would buy
we did
it.
Go to that new arcade in Auburn Hills.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that was one of the ones
neat.
We would go, but it was cool. Yeah.
We were talking about the other round one. That's the major Japan, karaoke, bowling, arcade game chain. It's the biggest. I mean, that and Taito Station, there's two of those in every major city. So.
That's cool. Huh. Yeah, because I didn't know that until you messaged me and mentioned that.
Goddamn machine. I loved it.
I was very surprised to hear they had that at Great Lakes Crossing.
Yeah,
so I have to go.
I saw it and I died.
Although it makes
it's where Burlington Coat Factory used to be.
Right.
Good riddance.
Because I was basically just as surprised, although having you tell me that made it more sense, why they would have that variety of Japanese cabinets. Like,
yeah,
well,
I
guess
it
makes sense.
Really realize they expanded
their big company.
All their stuff is a couple years old, and so it's probably
leftovers.
They're taking the stuff that they can't that isn't making money in Japan anymore because people have played it.
The turnover is much faster, and
I'm sure.
That's so smart. Oh, that makes me so happy that it's both exciting, but it's so smart.
Yeah,
but we're getting screwed.
Yeah.
Nah, we're fine.
The difference is we wouldn't get it at all.
Right.
Get it if it's past
the time. I want the cutting edge of Japanese arcade cabinets.
Well, say, buy your ticket.
You can go with Dustin.
No.
Damn.
I want them here in my backyard.
Oh, okay.
No, that's amazing. That makes you so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will definitely.
Doug, do they have Tunism?
No.
My favorite. I only
cross beats, which is good.
Nothing else. Nothing else for me. There's only one arcade game I like in Japan, that's a rhythm game. Doug played it the last time he visited, and they don't have it in America yet, so keep watching out for it.
Will do.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. If I see anything that looks remotely like a rhythm game in my presence, I will probably try to play it, so.
Yeah. I'll show you some videos of it once we're off air, because describing it on air would be silly.
Yeah, exactly.
Doug tried to after he visited it, and I was like, Doug.
All the best Japanese arcade cabinets are summed up by just watching a YouTube video of someone playing for 5 minutes. Just I guess
visual,
I get this.
Yeah.
An abstract experience.
It uses your body in a wonderful way.
I like it.
The joke's all
come
there.
To Japan.
Man.
Come to Japan.
Come to Japan. Use your body.
We use your body in wonderful ways.
For a price.
Yes. For the right price, you can use a body in every wonderful
way. Go wander down the wrong red light district and don't take anything that someone tries to hand you. If someone puts a paper in your hand, just make a flat palm and keep walking.
If someone puts a paper in your hand, it's probably a political ad.
Okay.
That's
a good. Again, feel free to elaborate or not. But would you say that the Japanese political scene is anywhere close to as divisive as it is in America?
Oh no! Nobody even cares, which is also difficult because
I say that's the opposite problem. Because if no one cares at all,
politicians there are pretty corrupt.
I think nobody's gonna hold them accountable.
The the prime minister basically underwrote a massive write-off for a construction of this huge university. And then his wife got to be
the principal at a daycare in that university or something like that. But right. then they were just like, eh, this isn't good. And so...
Shrug.
But that's still going on forever. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Japan chews through prime ministers, though.
I don't know. They choose their party, and then that party chooses the prime minister.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, and I'm saying they chew through them. They're like, oh, yes. They get fired and resign constantly.
But Abe Shinzo's been around too long, I think.
How long has he been
the prime minister? I feel like it's a bit.
He might run for a third term.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that had been like 5 years now he's been there. Yeah. He's on his third or fourth cabinet. So. But yeah, the people just get changed immediately. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Not able to provide interesting comment. Interesting.
No, that's fair enough.
And tough to accurate commentary. Mm-hmm. Right. So,
I was mostly just wondering. Which, like I said, I don't know if it's hard to say whether that's better or worse because you kind of want this, like, you want people to be engaged, but they're exactly. There's a big gulf in there somewhere.
You can be engaged and not a complete idiot.
Yeah,
that's kind of what we're searching for.
But yeah,
it's getting to the point here where anyone of a different political opinion will want to fight.
They just skip the rest of the discussion, go right to the end, because that's all anyone knows.
Yeah. Well, and the weirder part is it's like almost breaking in like every segment of society. Like people have become so good at self-segregating by worldview that it's
thanks, Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, right, in every way, both physically and, like, especially intellectually. Like, there is no reason that you ever need to be exposed to information that you don't concur with.
Yep.
If you don't want to be...
Why would I want to be challenged on my worldview?
That makes me feel bad.
You can even see it in, like, the corporate marketing. Like, look at this Hungry Howie's logo. He's clearly a proud boy.
I think proud boy is the best descriptor I've ever heard for GOP.
Proud boys are a specific sect.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. But let me, all right, before, because I don't think we'll be able to be on here too long.
Nope.
But before we let you go, let's flip the script a little bit. Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions off the top of the head for us about, like...
Any.
Right. What things are like in America since you've been, like, obviously not on the front lines of this nation for a very long time?
Okay.
Cleveland won a basketball title.
Don't care about that.
Man.
Come on, man.
It's just... sadness.
Yeah. No.
Lots of sad.
Well, earlier today, Wade was trying to get his
Steam Link
to do anything for us. So, of all these great technologies, how often do you spend it fighting it, and how much is it actually better?
That's like the only time I've ever struggled with any technology.
Pretty bad.
Yeah. Most things work exactly how I want them to when I want them to.
Yeah, okay. Usually it's pretty good, although we are on this weird, and I don't know if this is true in Japan or not, but we're on this weird precipice with like Internet of Things technology where you can like mostly recreate science fiction depictions of like, oh, all my lights turn on when I want them to, and like my thermostat is automated.
If I realize that my TV is on as I walk out the door, I can just yell at a speaker.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Because my parents don't have any of that set up in their house, so I'm like, oh, I want them to have this and be able to experience that.
Yeah, and
that stuff just sounds great as long as it works right.
Yeah, for the most part, I don't either. Like, we got the automated thermostat, which I do really like.
I have one right there.
Yeah, because you can set, like, the timers and stuff, so it'll automatically update, like, when you basically, like, want it to be cooler at night or whatever.
It gets cold when nobody's here.
Yeah, right. You can set it, like, I can pull up my phone right now and change how hot it is in our house if I just want to, like, not waste a bunch of energy or, you know, want it to be ready an hour before we get home or whatever to be like exactly the temperature I want it to be. But at the same time, it is just like a... like there's some of that stuff where like the level of complexity, like it's unclear, I think, right now whether the level of complexity introduced is worth like the benefit that it gives you, especially with some of the simpler stuff.
Yeah.
Like with people who have like fully like kitted out with Hue lights and stuff like that, with like like yes, you can make your living room purple by telling your phone to do so.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if your router reboots, then maybe you can't turn off your lights for the next 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You take with the good or the bad, I suppose, but it's weird. Like, I'll say that.
Yeah.
It's going to get weirder, too.
It is, especially...
You're going to be controlling every electronic device from your pocket.
Yeah, right. The thing I'll add here, because it's especially relevant in Michigan specifically, is that the self-driving car shit is becoming very real very quickly. Like living like a stone's throw away from Dearborn. Uh-huh. Every time I pass through it and like drive by the Ford campus.
Is that where they are testing?
Yeah, yeah, okay. There's just like, you'll see at least one self-driving car in like a 15-minute drive through Dearborn usually.
The garage at work where I used to always schedule work to be done on my cars is all autonomous cars.
Nice.
Oh, man.
But yeah, that shit's like, it's happening.
They're not for sale though. Yeah.
Right? No, not to the general public. Yeah. Okay. I think there are still like a handful of like the Ubers of the world have pilot programs,
right.
Like where they run them in some select cities some of the time.
But then those aren't owned by
people. Right. Yeah. You can't, as an average citizen, consumer. You cannot purchase a self-driving car equivalent. Like, well, you can get sort of close with the Tesla stuff, and like there are solutions that get you most of the way there.
Right.
Like the automatic braking of some like newer cars. Like,
so driving on the freeway is. Just about every manufacturer can sell you that capability.
Yeah, like
to drive for you on the freeway.
Yeah, that it'll pretty much,
meaning it scans the car in front of you, then the car slows down, it slows down,
and it keeps you centered in the lane.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so like it's fractionally implemented on the consumer side.
Program a route too, or does it just keep you on the interstate?
No, you just stay where you're at.
Yeah.
Tesla's system will change lanes for you.
Yeah. That stuff is moving faster here, I think, and so especially because Uber and Lyft and whatever do not exist in Japan yet.
The sure.
Taxi Large unions East. Are strong, and they've stopped it, basically. So I like that. And the Internet of Things stuff is there.
Because that seems like a thing that like you would have been reading about in Japan in like 1999. Right. Just like,
that stuff has existed forever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's basically considered done as far as my company is considered, or like we're developing, stuff for it.
Sure. And my argument isn't even that like it hasn't existed before, but it's finally reached a level of market penetration where like you run into people on the street who have most of that shit in their house at this point.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's just,
Yeah.
It's getting out there into the public in a way that it never was before.
Mm. No, I don't know. Like, TV, movies, music, all of it has changed so much. So, yeah.
And then the other thing is, like, which again, the automation scene is going to be really fascinating worldwide, but in particular, like, right here, like, in Detroit in the next couple years is going to be really telling. Because, Phil, I told you, I could look it up at some point, but there's, like, I saw a recent article about the level of automation in manufacturing, and they had a heat map of like all robots in America, like on the mainland.
Right.
And they're like little tiny pockets all over the place. And then in Detroit, it's like the reddest, largest globe of.
So the three major robot manufacturers are ABB, KUKA, and FANUC.
Say, Doug is certainly the person who can speak to this.
FANUC's headquarters, U.S. headquarters, is in Rochester Hills, ABB's is in Auburn Hills, and KUKA's is in Sterling Heights.
And our...
Then all the major automotive manufacturers are also, like, right in the same area, basically.
Yeah.
And so it's just...
Yeah, our school, the college we graduated from, the Dearborn campus of the University of Michigan, was basically founded by the Ford Motor Company to train engineers and then churn them into the Ford Motor Company.
Right.
So
system works.
Yeah,
there's an entire building for automotive systems on campus. It's very big and very nice.
So since neither of you work for Ford, were you guys like bad at school?
Well, the job I do currently is basically 100% supported by the auto industry. Not 100, probably like 90.
Gotcha.
But
and my dad works.
Yeah.
Okay. So
if you don't work for an auto company, you probably work for a company that works with auto companies in general.
At least around here.
Yeah.
So common.
But
it's tempting to think about working for a company like that, since at least it makes a thing rather than my company makes systems for systems.
Sure.
Systems to manage other systems. So good enough.
It's fine.
Yeah.
That stuff's really interesting, and I think that it's gonna be really telling I think it's gonna be really telling about humanity in general going forward, because I could see us heading towards either the utopia or the dystopia, just basically depending on kind of where people's moral compasses lie.
Right, yeah.
In terms of,
I think it's a utopia for gaming, it's a dystopia for all other
things. Some things aren't so great.
Like, just take food, for instance. You have every flavor of everything now. And every time I come back, it's only expanded.
We've consolidated every flavor of soda into one machine.
Yeah, because, like, I just don't...
Pretty soon it's going to be Cherry Jolly Rancher Pop-Tart Imitation Organic Pop-Tart Substitutes.
I can't wait. That's the future I need today.
And there'll be a podcast critiquing those.
Not as good as the original.
Yeah. Oh, man. Because, I don't think, like, the Luddite route would work. I don't think we can turn back the clock on technological advancement. I just don't think it's going to happen. No. Well,
unless something happens.
We just hit another dark age.
Well, accidentally. Yeah. Like, I don't think it's going to be an intentional, like, market decision to be like, oh, we're going to step away from technology and automation. And
a civil war could set us back.
Yeah.
To jump back to, like, the discussion of restaurants, it just needs to get to the point where crappy products, crappy things in a certain market sector go away because they don't need to exist. Like, you don't need so many Pop-Tarts or cereals, maybe.
Then you need people to stop buying them.
Yes, right.
It's not people like their crappy things.
That'll happen when people have less money because the world's doomed.
So the opposite will happen. People will only buy Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, because they're the cheapest.
People will buy the best version of them.
The
though,
cheapest version.
Which is vanilla cream. Yes.
I'll save that argument for another
podcast. Let's let the pros debate that.
Unfrosted brown sugar cinnamon.
Yeah. Unfrosted. Okay.
Trying to save a buck here.
Go back to France.
Well, they definitely should be
literally
cheaper.
$1.
They're not.
Man. If anything, if nothing else, the future will be unpredictable.
Yes.
That's my prediction.
Nice.
With that, I think Todd, do you have anything else you want to share? Any other questions for us? We want to let you get back to your family and your life and all that.
I gotta watch your podcast, kids. Watch your podcasts.
I like it.
Yeah.
But thank you for hanging out. Thank you for taking some of your, like I said, very precious, sparse time that you have.
That was good.
Coming overseas to see people, to spend with us.
I hope I was entertaining.
I was entertaining.
Yeah, exactly.
You are always entertaining, Todd.
I 100% agree.
This has been VR Pop-Tart Radio.
We're sponsored by Pop-Tarts
and Red Bull.
I wish.
Take another chomp, guys.
Oh, God.
Now it's open. We have to
You're shoveling the Pop-Tarts into the Todd train furnace as it pulls away from the station.
Well, you guys are hungry.
All right, we'll take another bite.
Pass me a hit.
We'll take one more chomp and then we'll call it a show.
Wow.
Doug, put that 3DS down for a second.
All right.
We're bonding over our misery.
3, 2, 1.
We'll see you next time, Internet.
Merry Christmas.
Bye. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And just,
bye,
you know,
Pop-Tarts.
Have some fun.
Be safe.
We'll
see
you later.
Real Japanese this time.
Yeah.
So long, all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.